Stand with me, please. Just going to read one verse of Scripture. One verse of Scripture. And then we're going to take off in the message. The Bible said in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I've been preaching probably for 25 years before I started making this statement. It actually took place when I was in the prison ministry. I started making a statement: if you don't want a change in your life, you don't want Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. If you meet Jesus, he's going to change your life. And according to the Bible, that's an evidence. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. How many can understand this morning that before I got saved, this would be the last place I would be on Sunday morning? I was actually trying to recover my sanity on Sunday morning. I'll just leave it at that. Amen. But things changed. The people that I used to love, used to run with, I don't run with them anymore. The people that I used to not run with, I run with now. They're God's people. There's a change took place. You can be seated and let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you today for the privilege to come in your presence. I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I want to thank you for your grace. And Lord, I realize today that, Lord, the subject today is one that needs to be approached. I pray, God, you'll give us wisdom in how that we approach it. And God, we'll give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Normally, I try not to start a message off on a negative foot, the negative side of things. I try to keep in mind something that a preacher taught me years ago, an old preacher. He said, a good sermon's like a sandwich. He said, you start it with a piece of bread. And then he said this. He said, in the middle, he said, you might have to get meaner than a junkyard dog. He said, that's where the meat and the mater is. But he said, don't ever forget before you let the people go to lay another piece of bread on top of the sandwich. And you say, Pastor, that don't do nothing for me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This fella had a sixth grade education. And he pastored a church with over 2,000 members. He knew how to relate to people. Amen. And he taught me something as we would sit at lunch together. The first thing I want to look at today, I'm going to look at two things. A change, number one, that's bad in society. And then I'm going to look at a change that's good in salvation. And I hope you'll stay with me this morning as God has dealt with my heart. There's a change that is bad in society. Let me give you some scripture this morning. This is what the Bible said, Proverbs 24:21. He said, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. That's what the Word of God said. Fear the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If you fear the Lord, there's some changes that you don't want to meddle with. I'll get into this in just a minute. Hold your horses. Amen. And then in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 26, the Bible said, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So there are some changes that are bad. When I think about social media today, I believe that's where a lot of the garbage is coming from. It's easy to put on your big boy pants on the internet, but when you meet that fella face to face, amen, it's a little bit different. Say amen. Social media, socialism. Our country, beloved, listen to me. Many of these cities, I looked at some statistics, and did you know, beloved, that where the more liberal a city is, the more liberal a state is, did you know the more unaffordable it is to live there? And yet those same people will use the word unaffordable. Amen. Tax, 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 tax. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to run out of people to tax after a while. Then what are you going to do? There's some changes that are bad. Communism. I don't want to see our country go towards socialism and go towards communism. Just, if you would, get in touch with somebody that moved out of that mess and moved to America and talk to them. Amen? So there are changes that are bad. I believe with all of my heart. Listen to what the Scripture said. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah for just a moment. I don't want to spend a lot of time here. I want to get on the good stuff. Amen? But there, I just want you to see there's some changes going on that are bad. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." You know, are we not there? And they put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. A lot of what God intended to be a blessing, amen, is turning into a curse because of what mankind is doing and twisting it, amen, all around. The morality is twisted today, amen. Even marriage is all twisted up today. Even what gender you are is all twisted up today. And the changes, some of them, beloved, listen, are good, but many of them that are going on today are bad. I think about our veterans that we celebrated last. That's not what they fought for, so that we could destroy the young and say amen and destroy the home. That was not God's plan in America. God wants us to understand that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22 with me for just a moment. Listen to what the Bible said. God said, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me." That right there is the problem. "They have not known me, and they are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Have you seen in the college campuses when they gather together now? Because there's somebody there that believes the Bible. Somebody there that believes in the family. Somebody there that believes in our country. Amen. Somebody that believes in God. Now outside, there's a bunch of so-called protesters. Amen. Well, you can call them protesters if you want to. I'm just going to call them educated idiots. Amen. They might have the education, amen, and they might think they know better than God knows and than the Bible knows and the preacher knows, amen, but God's word will stand forever, amen. Notice this now. Turn with me to Daniel, please. You don't have to turn there. I'll give you the verse. Daniel said, "And he shall speak great words." This is talking about the tribulation hour. We're there, honey. We're headed right in. The stage is being set for the Antichrist. This is going to happen in the tribulation hour after God takes his church out. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." That's that 3.5 years in the tribulation hour. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there are some changes that are wonderful, and I'm going to talk about them in a minute, the change that is good in salvation. But there's a lot of changes that are taking place in society that are not according to God's will and not according to God's way. Amen. God didn't intend for you to feed your family by gambling. He didn't intend for you to feed your family by selling liquor or by selling drugs on the street corner. God intended for us to work. And beloved, listen, this was, I believe, 1987. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, "When half the people in a nation get the idea, there's no use to work." I don't have to work because somebody's going to take care of me. And the other half get the idea, what's the use to work because somebody's going to take it from me. He said, that, dear friend, is about the end of any nation. He said that in 1987, amen. And in case you haven't noticed, we're about 50-50 in this country, amen. Why are these socialists rising up? I tell you why, one word, free. It's not the word work, it's the word free. We'll give you a free bus. We'll give you free meals. And we'll give you a free place to stay. And that is not God's way. God said if a man don't work, let him go hungry. The leaves need to be raked in my yard. If we went back to God's way, I'd have people knocking on my door. Can I rake your leaves? I'll rake your leaves for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. God's way is the best way. There is a change that is bad in our society. Look at the book of Amos for just a moment, and then I'm going to move on to the good part in the message. I spent enough time here. Amen. There's a change that is bad in society. In Amos chapter 5 and verse number 15, here's where we're supposed to be. Hate the evil and love the good. That's where we're supposed to be. Whether it's evil in somebody else's life or evil in our own life, we're supposed to hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate. It may be, watch this now, it may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Did you know God could still have mercy on America if we would hate the evil and love the good? Amen. I hope today that people won't attend our church very long to understand that we love the Bible and that we love the Lord. Amen. And that we believe His ways are the best ways. Amen. That, listen, there's an old path and God said we need to find it and we need to walk therein. But we don't need, beloved, to do like the children of Israel when they said we will not walk therein. Now let's get into the good part. That's enough of that junk. Say amen. But there is a change, beloved. Listen, if you love the Lord, when you see these things happen, it ought to cause you to cringe. It's not so much for me, but when I think about the last 20 years, Brother Caleb, and how it's gone, and I'm thinking now, when Sawyer's 29 years old, if it keeps going at a breakneck speed the way it is now, what's a country going to look like? We better get concerned. We better get to praying. Amen. And we better make up our mind which side of the fence we're standing on. You can't have one foot on both sides. Amen. Fence straddling might sound like good preaching, but it's not in the Bible. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. That's pretty plain to me. Amen. You're on one side of the fence or the other. There's a change that's bad in society. Let's look at the change that's good in salvation. God's given me something that's going to help somebody in this building today. You mark it down. Maybe more than one. But I'm going to show you something that God spoke. He spoke to my heart about this a long time ago. And I didn't really know how to approach it. But I believe God's given me that today. But let me give you this. There's three tenses, and I think I'm only going to get to one this morning. And this change that's good in salvation. There's a past tense. There's a present tense. And there's a future tense of the change that's good in salvation. If God don't change my mind and my heart, I think I'm only going to try to deal with this first one this morning, the past tense, a change that has taken, that's already happened. It has taken place. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to stay with me this morning. I want you to pay attention. If you don't, you're going to miss something. I'm going to give you this. Number one, that change, it's taken place. It's already happened in salvation. Sometimes that change is subtle. Subtle. Sometimes, beloved, that change is dramatic. And I'm going to show you in the Bible this morning what I'm talking about. In recent days, there have been some young people say they've not been out into drugs. They were raised in a good Christian home. And yet the Spirit of the living God dealt with their heart and drew them with cords of compassion. Listen to what the Bible said about Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. I'm talking now about a change that's taken place. It's already happened, but it's subtle.
In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. I don't see anything dramatic in that. Jesus comes by and he says, fellas, follow me. What did they do? They laid down what they were doing and they followed Jesus. Now, you say, Pastor, you're going to confuse us. No, I believe God will clear this up for you in just a moment. I'm thinking about, beloved, the Philippian jailer. It was dramatic when God opened the jail, but his salvation experience and Paul's salvation experience are totally different. Get what I'm saying? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, how do you know he believed? Well, look what the Word of God said. The Word of God said he believed. The Bible said that his whole house believed. Amen. And that they were now, instead of applying stripes to the man of God, they're washing the stripes on the man of God. I thought about another one, Enoch, in the desert. Philip was out there in the desert with the eunuch. And the eunuch said, well, of course, Philip began at that same scripture when he read out of Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Christ. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. There's a hole of water out there. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And what did Philip say? He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I don't see anything dramatic. He just looked at Philip and said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they went both down into the water, and he baptized him. And they went on their way rejoicing. Do you see that in the Scripture? But now, I want you to think about this. There's a change that's subtle, but there's also a change that's dramatic. I read this, and it's funny, and I wanted to share it, because sometimes people need to smile a little bit. And there's a change sometimes that's dramatic, and I'm going to give you a couple of instances of that in just a moment. But I read this. It said a man from way back in the mountains of Tennessee. It had to be Tennessee, didn't it? If it would have been me writing it, I would have said Kentucky. Amen? A man from way back in the mountains of Tennessee found himself one day in a large city for the first time standing outside of an elevator. He watched as an old, haggard woman hobbled on to the elevator, and the doors closed. A few minutes later, the doors opened and a young, attractive woman marched off the elevator. That mountain man hollered to his youngest son, son, go get your mother. He thought there was a dramatic change had taken place. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, turn with me to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. We're talking now about the Apostle Paul, about his conversion on the road to Damascus. The Bible said, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest. And he desired of him letters to Damascus of the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. The night I got saved, there was not a light from heaven that shined round about me. He fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the word of God said here, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Can you imagine this for just a moment? Now listen to me. Paul really believed with all of his heart that he was doing the right thing. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a very religious man, just like Nicodemus was. He thought when he was going down there and getting them Christians and locking them up that he was doing the right thing. Did you know, beloved, what's going on in Nigeria right now? Those people over there might think they're doing the right thing. They might think they're doing the right, they're serving the right God, but they're not. Say amen. And neither was Paul. Watch this now. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I'm thinking of this man's conversion as something that you would say is dramatic. Amen. I'm thinking of men like Peter and Andrew and John. You say, Pastor, do you really believe John was converted? Do you really believe Peter was converted? Do you really believe? Honey, listen, have you read your Bible? John went with him all the way to Calvary. Peter's the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost and thundered the Word of God. And 3,000 people got saved. But their experience was very, very different. Amen. You see, there's one thing we need to clear up right quick. Though their experiences were very, very different, there was one thing in common. Let me say it like this. There was one man in common. And that man was Jesus. That man was Jesus. When Paul told that jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what he needed to do in order to be saved. The religious crowd of that day, they hated him. They were losing the control, and they wanted to kill him. They wanted to get him out of the way. And listen, they thought they could kill the message. They killed the messenger, but they didn't kill the message. Amen? And I think it's the same today. I thank God the message is getting out. Amen? That Jesus is the answer. Amen? There's the past tense. A change that's taken place. There's a change that sometimes is subtle. There's a change that sometimes is dramatic. Turn with me, if you will, in Mark chapter number 5. This would be my second and last example. There are other examples in Scripture, but I want to show you another change that is dramatic. A change that is dramatic. The Bible said here, in verse number 1 of chapter 5 of the book of Mark, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs. This man was dwelling among the tombs. A man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Now, I'm not real smart, but if you can't hold a man with chains, there's something going on. Say amen.
Amen.
Most men, you could hold them with a quarter-inch rope. Amen. You could hold them pretty easily. Nowadays, they use zip ties. I've seen the police, they carry zip ties because there's more than one idiot. You can only carry so many handcuffs on your belt, amen? But they just take little old zip ties. It's a piece of plastic-like. You know what they are. Put your hands behind it. And I've never seen anybody break out of that. This man's bound with chains, and the chains won't hold him. I want you to see this change that's dramatic. And he'd been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. He knelt down before him and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Let me say this to you this morning. If you don't know who he is, that's sad. Even the devils knew who he was. Even the demons knew who he was. He said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Now, how was he before? Chains wouldn't hold him. He's naked, running around in the tombs. Am I right? How did they find this man? Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. You want to know why? There was a change in his life that was dramatic. He had changed from being a crazy man among the tombs to a child of God that was sitting at the feet of Jesus. The change was dramatic, and everybody could understand it, and everybody could see it. I want you to see this. And they began to pray him, they're talking about Jesus, to depart out of the coast. Did you know why? The swine meant more to them than the soul of this man. Did you know, beloved, listen, there are many people that call themselves Christians today. The things of this world mean more to them than the souls of men. That's sad. The pleasures of this life mean more to them than the souls of men. That's sad. Notice what the Word of God said here. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been, ain't you glad to be a had been? Yeah, boy, amen. I'm glad when you're talking about sinners, I'm a has been. Say amen. Amen. The Bible said, possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Is it not? Listen to me. Somebody that says, "I'm saved," and they don't want to go with Jesus, there's a problem with that. Because if you ever get to know Jesus, honey, you want to go with him. You want to be with him. Amen? Amen. Watch what the Word of God said. He said, he prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Jesus wouldn't allow it. Jesus said, "I got a job for you to do." He said, "I want you to go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." How many believes that it was hard to believe when he went back? Amen. I mean, listen, I believe with the woman at the well, when she went back to town and said, "Come see a man," they're thinking, "Ha, is this the same woman we've known all these years? Done had five husbands and living with one now, shacking up, and that ain't even her husband?" You see where I'm coming from? Watch this now. And he departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And the Word of God said, all men did marvel. There's a change that has taken place. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Someone said some people will change when they see the light. Others will only change when they feel the heat. In the spiritual realm, your pastor wants to tell you this morning. It's too late to change when you feel the heat. You can't leave this world lost and then decide, "I need Jesus." This is the preparation place in this world, on this side of eternity. I want you to take your Bibles, and this is the last text that I want to read to you today. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter number 10. This is very important. Really, this is the crust of the message today. Change. There's a change that's bad in society, But there's a change that's good in salvation. We're looking this morning at the past tense. That's a change that has already taken place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, watch this now. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. And he said, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." If I was to go through the auditorium today and get the testimony of everyone that knows that you know that you know that heaven will be your home, man, there are going to be lots of differences. Some of it's going to, you had a conversion that was subtle. Others had a conversion that was dramatic. But there's going to be one common denominator. That's Jesus. We came to the Son of God, realizing that we needed the Son of God. Let me give you this. This is a good illustration. I used to work in a machine shop. I wish Mark was in here because he's a machinist. You can tell him, Brother Greg, after a while. But I used to work in a machine shop, and I was a fabricator. I was a welder. But every once in a while, they'd run out of something to fabricate, and I'd have to help in the machine shop. I do not claim to be a machinist. I don't claim to be a machinist, but I learned a little bit. I learned that they had this great big, I'm talking about this thick, marble table about 4 foot square in the middle of what they called an inspection room. And in that inspection room, the temperature and the humidity had to stay the same all the time. And in that inspection room, you had what you call standards. You had this little piece of metal, and then another piece, and then another piece. When you take a mic, you got a mic in different sizes, like a 0 to 1, 0 to 1 inch. It'll measure between there and there. It'll go all the way together. But when you take that mic, in order to know that that mic is reading accurate, I can't go, Brother Billy, over to your toolbox and compare my mic to your mic. I can't then go over to Brother Chris's and say, well, let me compare mine. Mine didn't quite line up with Billy's. Let me see if it'll line up with yours. I can't go over there to Connor and say, let me and you check these 0 to 1s. And no, you've got to go to the inspection room. You've got to go to the standard. Now watch this. If you ever drop the standard, Brother Mark, on the floor, it's done. You drop it, it has to be replaced. You have to order another one. It can never be the same again. You know what's wrong in our society today?
Yeah.
We've dropped the standard. The standard, beloved, is the Word of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, you can compare yourself with me and say, oh, I'm doing pretty good compared to preacher. You can compare yourself to Brother Gary or Brother David. Say, I'm doing pretty good compared to them. But honey, that ain't going to help you. We got to get in the room with the standard. The standard is the Lord Jesus. The standard is perfect. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, comparing ourselves with ourselves, we're not wise. Some people had a subtle conversion. Others had a dramatic conversion. But the answer to the question needs to be this: I've met Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I've heard some people that could testify for 20 minutes and never mention his name.
Yeah.
That's not a scriptural testimony.
Right. Amen.
Honey, I'm telling you, beloved, if you've ever been born again,
Amen,
you have to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
He's the one that did the work, or the work has not been done. I thought about in that day how important it was. That table I told you about that thick, was about waist high, the top of it. That table had been ground. It was made out of granite, and it had been ground. Now listen to me. Perfectly flat. Perfectly flat. I'm not probably supposed to say this, but my grandpa was a wonderful man. But he left this world believing the world was perfectly flat. His daughter said, "No, Dad," said, "the earth's round." He was talking about that in Sunday school, wasn't he, John? That's running on the axle, and it's round. And my grandpa said, "How y'all know?" They said, "Dad, there've been men on the moon, took pictures of the earth." Grandpa said, "Where'd you see that?" "Saw it on TV." He said, "They show squirrels talking on TV." He said, "You don't believe that, do you?" We're not talking about an argument over whether the earth is flat or round. We're talking about the argument whether you can be saved without Jesus or not. And you can. The Christmas plays got it right. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby, listen to this word, we must. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Whereby we must be saved. A lot of people spend a lot of time, and by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. The devil would like for every one of us to spend our whole life just worried about ourselves. Because while we're worried about ourselves and concerned about ourselves, we don't have time to be concerned about someone else's soul. Amen? So he'd like to just tie us up in ourselves. And the Bible said it's not wise, Brother Mike, for me to compare myself to you or you to compare. I'll tell you what will help both of us is get in the inspection room with Jesus.
Amen.
And we'll both see we're coming up short. Say amen.
Amen.
That'd be the wise thing to do. And when a sinner understands that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you might say, "Well, I tell you what, I stack up okay against that preacher." You might do it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You get in that inspection room, and you're no longer stacking up. You'll be just like John on the Isle of Patmos. You'll be falling at his feet, saying, "I'm a sinful man."
Amen.
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 I'm a sinful man, and I need to be forgiven.
Amen.
There's a change that's bad. There's a lot of that going on today, but there's a change that's good. And that change takes place whenever an individual meets Jesus. You see, this is what the book said. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what it said. That's not some preacher pointing his finger at you. That's a holy God in heaven pointing his finger. The Bible said, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death is passed upon all men." Every one of us is going to die because Adam sinned. Amen?
Amen.
But aren't you glad Jesus paid the price for sin?
Amen.
The Bible said that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Brother Adam, I thought about Jonah. Brother Houston, I thought about Owen. These are youngins that in recent days, these youngins are raised in good Christian homes, but they come to a place where they said, "I need Jesus." Papa couldn't save them. Daddy couldn't save them. They understood they needed Jesus. Amen. And that change might be subtle as far as us looking at it, but I want you to know it's still real. Say amen.
Amen.
It's still real. And there may be others, beloved, that's wasted their life. The best testimony is not only when a soul is saved, but a life is saved from a life of destruction. That's the best testimony anybody can have. Amen. Don't have to have the scars that many of us carry because of the years that we lived in vanity and pride. Amen. Carry not our Lord was crucified. I want you to know this morning he loves you. There's two peoples in this church building today. Those that have experienced that change, whether it's subtle or dramatic, and those that need to experience that change. Because there's no way to go to heaven without experiencing that change. Tyler, when I was preparing to preach, what God gave me, I thought about you and your wife. It wasn't really dramatic. But they knelt on the garage floor, on the concrete, said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. It wasn't like Paul on the Damascus Road. It wasn't like the demoniac among the tombs. But it's the same Jesus that saved Paul, that saved me, that saved you, Tyler. It's the same Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe if we'll let this sink in, it'll help us. Amen. Sometimes we want to see this or want to see that. I'm reminded, and I'm quitting. Years ago, I heard about a pastor that he was talking to a man at his door. He was giving him the gospel, and his answers were really dry, Brother Chris. Sir, do you believe you're a sinner? Yes. Yes, I do. Sir, do you believe Jesus died on the cross like the Bible said? Yes, sir. Do you believe he rose again the third day? Like, yes, sir, I do. Is God dealing with your heart? Oh, yes, sir, he is. Would you like to trust Jesus? Yes, sir, I would. There was another experience where this same preacher was in a living room with a man. And when the man professed faith in Christ, Brother Caleb, he jumped up and ran across the sofa, down and up on the chair, and down and back up on the sofa. And he was just lapping the living room. Never did find that man in church. It's not about emotion. It's what you do with Jesus. That man that just gave the answers kind of dry-like is what we would see. That man asked Jesus to save him, and at the time he had already been a deacon over 50 years in a Baptist church.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I hope you get it. Amen? Some might say, well, if anybody got it, he did. We don't know who gets it and who don't.
That's
right. Let me give you that again. We don't know who gets it and who don't, but God does. And there'll be evidence in that Christian's life. Amen. There was evidence in Peter's life, though it was subtle. There was evidence in Andrew's life, though it was subtle. There was evidence in John's life, though it was subtle. He wouldn't even talk about his own name. He'd say that other disciple, that disciple whom Jesus loved. There was evidence in the woman at the well's life, though it wasn't subtle. There was evidence in Paul's life, though it wasn't subtle. We don't know anything else about the eunuch. As far as I know, I can't find anything. They just went on their way rejoicing. But I'm going to tell you something. He was the treasurer, but he had a treasure that he didn't come to that desert with when he left.
Amen.
He had Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the change that you make in lives. And Lord, I pray that we learn that today that it's not wise to be looking at each other. We need to get in that inspection room and see our Father. Does our salvation line up with the Bible? Is it Jesus that we trusted to save us? Lord, religion will let us down, but a relationship with Christ is what's necessary in order to go to heaven. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that even though we're living in the midst of a lot of bad changes, Lord, every once in a while, God, you just let us see a soul that says yes to the Lamb of God, that understands their need. Lord, I pray today that you'll speak to hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please.